The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And we know many households are feeling the financial strain of the war in Iran. Some companies, though, have been counting bumper profits as a result. And to tell us how companies and what companies are making billions from war, I'm joined now by the positive economist and presenter of Taking Stock, Susan Hayes Cullerton. Susan, good to have you with us today. And, you know, while war of any kind in any place is always an absolutely dreadful thing for so many reasons, there are companies who are doing so well out of this.
There are. And if we take the fact that at the moment we've heard this week that militarily that this war has cost $29 billion to the US, like that money, Claire, had to go to somebody. And there is an argument that that figure is actually an awful lot higher when you take into account inflation and so on like that. If we stick with that $29 billion, naturally enough, a lot of that money would have gone to defence companies. But the challenge that defence companies have is that that's such a windfall, they actually don't have the capacity to be able to respond to that in such a way that the demand is so much greater than supply. So a lot of the companies that we're about to talk about today, actually, this has led to higher backlogs because they haven't been investing in their own production and capabilities to be able to handle this. So when we look at further like of Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and of course Boeing is in the news today. Its share price was slipping this morning as a result of the deal that wasn't announced in the Chinese visit this morning.
So wasn't there an expectation that the Chinese would buy upwards of 500 Boeings, and they bought 200?
200, exactly. And so as a result, the share price was expecting that this was just simply going to be announced and everything was going to be fine, and in fact it wasn't. But when we do look around, that is the challenge that these defence companies have. So yes, they have been receiving a lot of money, but it's actually a lot of it is now going into back orders. If you look at the share prices of several of the companies that I've mentioned, for example, like you'd expect Lockheed Martin to be up quite significantly this year based on what's happened, it's actually only up 4%. It massively increased in March when there was an expectation that it was going to take on all of this demand, but it simply can't deliver upon it. So therefore, the stock market expectation of defence companies, it's actually playing out a little bit differently than one might have expected, because those expectations just drove up the share prices, but the reality is a little bit different.
Okay, so they can't keep up with demand, therefore they're being asked to make more products, but they can't really do it. So are we saying that they're not reaping the rewards here?
They are getting the orders. That's turning into money, but it's not going to turn into the profit as quickly as one might expect. Mm-hmm. Now, Trump is expecting to increase military spending up to $1.5 trillion by 2027. And if anybody could actually be in studio here, you will see that Claire's eyes are rolling.
It's just a mind-boggling figure.
It is. It really, really is. And therefore, they need to look outside, which we'll get to. There's some geographies outside of the US that are benefiting from this as well, including Europe. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at Germany's Rheinmetall or you look at the UK's BAE Systems, there's other companies out there that are benefiting from this. But I'm just saying that while it might seem that the obvious is that the defence companies are soaring in billions, the question is, the orders, they are, yes. But when it turns into actual real money, that's a different story.
Okay. So then we turn to the oil and gas companies.
Now, that's different, because oil and gas, a lot of the companies there were already producing the thing that subsequently went up dramatically in value. And so therefore, if you already have stocks of oil that is being either mined or it's being refined or it's being, you know, when it gets to the end user level and then suddenly the increase in price happens as a result of something that happens overnight, which literally happened on the night of the 28th of February, that's different. So those companies have been in for a big, big windfall. So the world's top 100 oil and gas companies, they were banking, Claire, an unexpected $30 million every hour in the first month of the US-Israeli war. And that was simply because they already had what they had. The price of making it hadn't changed, but the price that it was generating suddenly did.
Do you remember the fuel protests? Oh no, we don't do that. We don't do that. We sell what we have at the old price and then we charge the new price for the more expensive stuff.
And that was, of course, what led to a really big challenge. And then also people were asking the question, I mean, we weren't importing our oil directly from the places that it was not being shipped and transported through the Strait of Hormuz, etc. But where that's going to go, of course, is a whole other ballgame here. Because the reality is that I think we also need to consider, Claire, the difference between what is happening now and what could happen in the future. Some of what I'm talking about is going to stay. There has been significant amount of damage done to a lot of the oil and gas production sites, particularly in Ras Laffan in Qatar, where so much of LNG, which is the product that leads to natural gas, has been dramatically, really, really significantly targeted. And as a result, it could take up to 5 years for it to restore production. Mm-hmm. So for us to go back and see oil and gas prices and even further production levels at pre-war levels, that's quite unlikely because the infrastructure that was making them in the first place is not there.
But the top 100 companies that produce oil and gas, they'll be okay because of the 30 million an hour that they made in the first month of the war.
They have more of insulation, all right. But then we get to a much bigger story. And I think this is perhaps the silver lining of this, which is the real beneficiary of the point we've just talked about here is China. And that is because there's been a lot of drive now around, well, actually, if we can't rely on oil and gas and we can't rely on its production and the price, well, then what can we rely on? And if you go back to the fuel protests, and you remember as well as I do, like petrol stations that were running out of petrol, but cars that were being charged at home weren't running out of anything. So therefore, there was far more reliability when it came to electric vehicles, even though only 3% of the vehicles in the country are actually EVs at the moment, growing quickly. So if we extract that out then to a global level, it is China is the one that is really, really benefiting here, because China exported 68 gigawatts of solar technology in March. And that surpassed the previous record set in August by 50%. So as the world now says, well, actually, we do need to more so turn to renewables because, Claire, to make an obvious point, it's renewable. Therefore, it's China is really the beneficiary here. And when it comes to battery storage, when it comes to solar infrastructure, they're really driving the bus.
OK, so they are the ultimate winners in
they
all of this.
They are the ultimate winners. And one could argue that the world is winning if we do make a move towards that perspective from an economic point of view, but also an environmental point of view and more an energy security point of view. But then if we bring it full circle back to everybody who's listening to us here this morning, then that comes to, well, how is our ability here in Ireland to be able to avail of that infrastructure, particularly given the fact that we have enormous ability to have offshore wind? But are we tapping into that as efficiently mm-hmm. as we could?
Thank you very much, Susan. That's a lot to think about. And the repercussions of that war will be felt for a long time to come, regardless of when it is solved. And we hope that happens soon. Susan Hayes-Culleton, thank you very much.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.